Hi, this is Richard Edelman, and you're listening to The Trust Makers.
Well, hello, everyone. I'm Jackie Cooper. I'm the Global Chief Brand Officer and Senior Advisor at Edelman. And I'm delighted today to be joined by Cheryl Gresham. She's the Chief Marketing Officer for Verizon Value, an organization launched this year that is dedicated to Verizon's prepaid and value plans. Throughout her amazing career, Cheryl has led marketing efforts for some of the world's most iconic brands, including Taco Bell to TikTok. Cheryl has a keen understanding for connecting with consumer communities and balancing performance with brand marketing, and I would add with meaning from talking to Cheryl. And I'm really, really delighted for you to join us today. Cheryl, welcome to the Trustmakers.
Absolutely. Thank you, Jackie, so much. I'm honored to be here and excited to have a conversation with you.
Well, it's a kind of interesting time because you're coming up to your 1 year anniversary of being in the CMO role with Verizon Value. And so I'd really love to start with, where have you actually been focusing your efforts in the last year? And maybe for some of our listeners who are less familiar, a little bit of a backstory on the sort of value brands portfolio itself, because it's a really interesting mix of brands.
Yeah, absolutely. It is a really interesting mix. I'll actually start there because most people, when I speak with them, they'll ask, well, what is Verizon Value? Because it is not consumer facing. Verizon took a look at the market, and Verizon has been such an incredible leader in the category for so many years. But what Verizon was looking at, obviously, is the future. And where is the future going? Where are our customers going? What's important to them? And I think of it as two sort of paths that have converged together. The first is with where the consumer is going. And, you know, when I started my career with Verizon almost 2 years ago, I started with a brand called Visible, which was established by Verizon under the thinking that more and more is moving into the digital space. I use my own children as my little research group. But they do everything they can to minimize, you know, in-person interactions with purchases. And the last thing they want to do is go and spend their time potentially in a strip mall or shopping center looking for something to purchase. And everything is online for them. And so Visible was created to serve that customer need. As a result, they get a lot of savings passed on to them. So I was excited to come into Visible to work and hopefully do some great marketing to meet those customers. And it's a brand that's focused on younger people and very digitally savvy folks. So that was one area that Verizon definitely has been investing in over the past several years. At the same time, Verizon was looking to the future and this idea of a different marketplace, a different customer that needed service and needed support, but had not really connected with Verizon yet. And so Verizon acquired a company called TracFone in late 2021. And a lot of people may have heard of the brand TracFone, but what I learned myself even is TracFone is, you know, a pretty incredible company with a lot of history that includes brands like Straight Talk, Total, Simple, and several other brands, Walmart Family Mobile. And the model was really established for people who may be unbanked, may not have the greatest credit in the world, people who only want to pay for the minimum of what they actually use, people who want to pay as they go, who are trying to avoid contracts, and, you know, may get their phone service at a Kroger grocery store or a Walmart, and again, might be able to navigate the space rather simply, but really want a lot of choice and options. So as Verizon invested in the TracFone acquisition and then Visible, we brought all of it together under this idea of Verizon Value. And I'm lucky enough to lead the marketing. The president of our group is named Angie Klein, and we are an independent group within the Verizon Consumer Group that has a different focus on our customer needs. We develop different value propositions for these customers and obviously market differently. And we have a very different distribution model than Verizon. So hence the Verizon Value Group and making sure that we're all laser focused on serving the needs of the customers we are trying to reach.
I mean, it seems like you've got something for everybody, but very distinctive and very well thought through. And in past roles, you've worked on very distinctive and iconic brands like Taco Bell, Mattel, YouTube, TikTok. I mean, literally all the most famous extraordinary brands of today. This space that you're operating in now really comes with some pretty unique challenges. And so as you've sort of touched on this kind of spread of an offer, how are you thinking about differentiation across this portfolio of brands? What's been the most effective strategy so far to establish trust with the communities that each brand is trying to reach?
Absolutely. So yes, it's exciting. It's a big challenge. We are looking to develop these, what we call value propositions or products for different segments in different channels. But Visible, as I mentioned, for example, is for our digitally savvy, digital only customer. And so the way we connect with that person is if you know, you know. And there's sort of this wink and this understanding that folks who are going to be drawn to and appreciate Visible, they are very savvy. They are a bit higher household income. They know how to navigate the digital space and they know exactly what they want and need. And so with Visible, for example, in terms of your question around trust, one of the things of a segment that is an if you know, you know segment is they might be the folks in your circle of friends who you actually go to for advice. They're on the cutting edge. They're learning. They're watching YouTube videos. They're constantly looking for information. And so something that we just developed and did recently to work with them on building trust was we partnered with a pretty incredible influencer named Marques Brownlee. And if you're not familiar with him, he is in his late 20s, I think still. He's borderline, I think 30. But he is someone who does some great reviews online of all different types of technology. Tim Cook and Apple used him earlier this year during the launch of the new iPhone in September. He's interviewed Elon Musk. But this group of folks that we target with Visible, if you know, you know, they certainly know Marques Brownlee. And so we worked with him in a way that was very, to be blunt, honest, direct, and we developed some content. And one of those content pieces I love is Visible might not be for you. And I mean, how much more can you develop, hopefully, trust with telling the customer, honestly, here's what Visible is, here's what Visible is not, and it might not be for you. And we're going to explain why. And I think coming from a person who has established himself as such a trusting connoisseur of the space and an advocate and just someone who is really living and breathing it all day, every day, to work with him and have him help us develop the content about why Visible may or may not be for you, I think showcases that ability of Visible trying to be a trusted partner to the right people that we're trying to target. Take the flip side of Straight Talk. That brand is only distributed via Walmart. You can technically go online to straighttalk.com and purchase it, but it is essentially, I'll say 98-99% distributed through Walmart channels. And we developed the brand with Walmart. And so this brand is obviously focused on folks who are certainly wanting to shop at Walmart, wanting to get their phone service at Walmart, and wanting a lot of choice and flexibility. One of the things we're looking at in terms of building trust is working with some of the people who are the most honest in our society. And, you know, the past few years have been rough for a lot of these folks, but they're the comedians. And straight talk lends itself to this idea of honesty, directness, and just being open and honest. And so we've been working recently with comedians, including Jim Gaffigan, to explain what straight talk's all about, whether that is through in-store advertising at Walmart on their, what we call their audio system, their TV walls. We're using all different types of media to try and connect with this customer, but being really direct and honest again, but in a different way, targeted to a different customer with someone like Jim Gaffigan, who's a great comedian. And no one says it more straight probably than comedians do.
Yeah, what I love about what you're talking about is it could be perceived as a kind of commodity communication because it's about a service and money becomes very important, right, in these conversations. But you're bringing some emotion and storytelling to, in both of these cases, very specifically targeted to the type of customer you're reaching, but you're bringing emotion and storytelling to help those messages come forward, which I think is great because you do build trust with information, but how do you actually get people to listen to you in the first place? You've got to engage them. So both of these ways are kind of maybe unusual for a commodity space because you're kind of differentiating yourself beyond the commodity offer, right? By having this kind of marketing.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's super smart. And so what does the sort of, you know, consumer journey look like from your vantage point? Because where I'm going with this is that Edelman released new data that really did expose the flaws in the traditional purchase funnel model. We were kind of interested and kind of delighted by this result, because what we found out was that the traditional way of pushing consumers through sequential stages so that you just have everything geared up to the moment of purchase is no longer effective. And what we actually need to have with our consumers and our customers is a much more lateral, ongoing experience where we have an always-on communication. Our customers expect us to dive in and out of their lives on a regular basis. They don't just want us to take them through the purchase moment and then leave them. And that if we want that commitment and loyalty and trust, we have to be there for them, we have to engage with them, and we have to keep giving to them. Has this sort of affected your work, given that you are so geared up towards actually having a purchase, you know, relationship with your customers for economic success? And can you talk a little bit about how you're thinking about this new consumer journey and the funnel kind of extending beyond that one point of purchase?
Absolutely. You know, it's interesting. I've been thinking about, as we all have, right, and reading a lot about AI recently. Our consumers, all of our consumers, regardless of category that we're in, and, you know, I'll talk specifically to the United States, but, you know, the consumers are very savvy. They know, you know, how to find out information. They don't have to wait to watch an ad in the Super Bowl to get the information that they need on products and understand what the brands are all about. And so our marketing has to not only catch up, but I would actually say leapfrog and try and get ahead of where, you know, our customers are, or at least run at the same pace with them. And particularly in the category that I'm in right now, because we don't have contracts, I need my customers and our customers to pick us every 30 days and to choose to stay with us all the time. So it's not just about the acquisition, it's about the retention, the loyalty, the word of mouth, the advocacy, all of it. Yes, that happens for a lot of brands, but, you know, particularly with this part of the telco category, since they are re-upping with us every 30 days, we've got to be smarter and broader than what some of the other folks do. And so as a result, we certainly need to look at, you know, let's call it the funnel for a minute. And awareness is important. And there are traditional ways you can drive that awareness. But one of the things I've been looking at a lot is advocacy. And you'll go into spaces that might not have traditionally even been considered. I love what you're talking about with Edelman and the purchase funnel model. But last night, even, I was in one of the sites and I was looking for something in my neighborhood. And there was dialogue and communication amongst the neighbors of what brands work best for certain services within the community. And I don't know that traditionally or historically, you would think of something like, I'll call it neighborhood word of mouth, is being something that's an important part of the purchase funnel. But I actually see it as almost, in one way, it could be the start of it all for someone who is new to a community and needs great wireless service and wants to understand what is best and most effective where they live. So I use that as an example to show that we've got to look left and right versus up and down with the purchase funnel. And it loops and it repeats and people come in and out of it. But whether it's advocacy, articles, content, influencers, like I mentioned with Marques Brownlee, big video commercials, audio, I think we're looking at everything, and we're testing and learning with a lot of media as well that may be deemed old school. The key is just that we are looking at everything. Nothing's off the table. And that, as I mentioned, we have to be scrappy. And so we have to be really creative and test and learn and try new things to stand out to the people we're trying to reach.
There is the best of examples with your business that you have to have your customer have that discipline of picking you every 30 days, because that is a loop. I mean, that's just an extraordinary loop. And I also love your comment about direct mail, because years and years ago, you know, direct mail became the poor relation of the marketing mix. It was almost like the bottom of the bottom, and it's coming back because it's unusual to that Gen Z and millennial audience, which is kind of funny for those of us who are older and sort of fascinating for how everything's cyclical. And I think the open way that you talk about everything being on the table is so interesting, because our Gen Z research came about from CMOs telling us they were very wary of Gen Zers and getting it wrong. But what you're talking about is just be open to everything and trust it and learn from what works well, but also learn from what doesn't work well, because it's such a movable feast now with all of the economic levels, all of the consumer needs, all of the different challenges that people have from one week to another, from one month to another. And you really are talking about engagement, which is, of course, the holy grail, right? Because that's the most important thing. It's no good to have the eyeballs cast anything over for 2 seconds. We really need to go deeper with our consumers. And you're talking about, you know, engagement being so important and really understanding how they behave versus how they just sort of click. You kind of might have some listeners on this podcast saying, well, you know, I'm hesitant to let go of data tracking. I'm hesitant to let go of measurement. I kind of want everything to be reassured by that. What's your advice to them? Because you had this great phrase when we were talking about retention being the new growth, which I absolutely loved. How have you been confident enough to let go of some of that traditional tracking obsession and go for that engagement sort of focus more?
It's funny. I have been sharing that a lot with my team recently, back to this 30-day loop. But retention is growth. This category has a lot of pressure on it. There are new entrants, it feels like, every week. And to be able to retain our customers, they are choosing us again. You've got to have a balance of brand and performance marketing. But there is this historical push. I've seen it because I've worked for a lot of, you know, tech companies that definitely have historically pushed it. That if you can't measure it and you can't show that the click came from something, it didn't happen. And I don't believe that. And I think all of us, if we think about our daily life, it is an input. It is something that we definitely should value and measure. But that doesn't mean that the creative work we do with Marques Brownlee didn't impact the person's journey to choose Visible, or that the work that we did with Jim Gaffigan didn't have somebody look up. They might have been on their phone while they were watching television and they heard a familiar voice and they looked up and they were like, huh, I wonder what Straight Talk's all about. And then they went and searched on their computer and maybe walked into the store in a couple of days and purchased it. So I think that obviously data is important, tracking is important, and measuring is important. But I think that the best marketers are doing that and other breakthrough creative and branding initiatives and focus.
It's something that we definitely see in our trust data, that engaging with consumers in the way that you're describing actually does drive business growth. So it's not woo-woo marketing. It's 100%, to your point, hardcore commerce. We see 59% of consumers are more likely to purchase new products when they trust the brand. And even irrespective of price, 67% will stay loyal and advocate for brands that they trust. And the trust is something that's beyond just a data questionnaire, to your point. It feels like marketing today is a sort of myriad of ands, not, well, do I do this or do I do that? And you've definitely articulated so well the notion of having some sort of gut behavioral instinct with the data and the hardcore marketing. And we can't have the marketing behaviors of yesterday for our consumers of today. They're much tougher on us. And so where you've got Verizon value for the next year, and the value word being obviously so important for the whole proposition and sort of such a discerning consumer base, is there anything that you'd like to sort of preview for us that you've got coming up for the new year as we're coming to the end of this one?
One of the areas that we're really excited about is something I'll say internally, we're sort of talking about this idea of the mid-market. But as I mentioned before, Verizon has been spectacular at building a wonderfully premium brand that has an incredible network, incredible advocacy, long-term customers, very savvy customers. But an area that Verizon is definitely focused on, and I'll say some of our competitors were there a little bit before we had been, is this mid-market idea. And so in the acquisition of TracFone, one of the brands that came with that was a brand called Total Wireless. And we have renamed it Total by Verizon. And back to, right, what is old is new again. This is really going to be exciting for us in 24. This brand is being developed to reach folks who, I say they might live in Queens, they might live in Inglewood, Panorama City, other areas that you may not see as many, you know, Verizon locations, or even areas where people might just think like, oh gosh, there's no way I could ever be with Verizon. But this brand is built for these customers, and we are bringing all the best of what Verizon has to offer, but packaging it away for these customers who are working hard every day. They might be the Uber driver or a nurse in an emergency room, and being able to give them all the best benefits of Verizon, but at a price and in a way that is most helpful for them. So we're going to be expanding with store openings, actual physical retail locations. We're already distributed in tens of thousands of national retail locations like Target, Best Buy, Walmart, Kroger, and so on. But we're bringing the physical locations that are going to be called the Total Stores into these markets and communities to be closer for the segment. If they want to come in and purchase a phone or get some help, there will be people there to help them. But the key difference is, again, no contracts, no credit checks, pay however you need to pay, and choose us every 30 days and have a variety of plans. So if they have folks maybe that they live with or that live in their building that they want to share a plan with and receive some discounts as a result, we have a plan for those folks. If they might be a single mom who's got a couple kids and they really want to watch Disney streaming, We've got a plan for those folks as well that includes Disney streaming. And so we've tried to customize the different, you know, value propositions and products with these segments specifically in mind. We want to be available in these national retail locations where Total always has been, have physical retail locations in the community where they can get the help, support, guidance that they need. And then obviously, if they choose to transact digitally, and maybe that's how they stay with us and we retain and they re-up every 30 days, they can do that online. So I'm really excited about that for 2024. That's going to be a big focus for us and a bit of a pivot, you know, for what Verizon has done historically. So really exciting to get the whole entire organization galvanized behind this.
Well, Cheryl, thank you so much. We definitely have got a picture of such a rich tapestry of brands for such a wide cross-section of consumers, and that you have this emotional engagement very much woven into that tapestry beyond just the kind of commercial offer. You've expressed that so well. I'm sorry that that's all we have time for today. So I'd like to say thank you for sharing all your insights and your expertise. And to our listeners, thank you for listening to The Trustmakers.
Thank you for tuning into The Trustmakers, an Edelman podcast in partnership with Advertising Week, where we speak with leaders and other trust builders across institutions. See you next time.